Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. This is episode number 186, recorded from the Defunt Leroy studio in Westerly, Rhode Island. And I usually say in sunny Southwest Florida, but this week I have the pleasure of Por Favor Mike joining me at the Westerly Studios. He got through security somehow, but he's here and joining me in the studio.
45 minutes to get through security, Bill, and I thought you told me you had my name out there.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is your name's out there, but there's a picture in the security shack of do not let this man onto property, so there was calls that had to be made, and, but it all got ironed out in the end. And we're also joined by Mike from Michigan, Mike Schaefer, joining us on the hotline.
And, yes.
On this week's episode, so thanks for joining us. It's been a while since you've been on. I think it was the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's been too long, really.
Really too long, you're right. But thank you for joining us, and I know you have an addition to your family since the last time we spoke, so congratulations on that.
I do, yeah, thanks.
How's it all going with the little one?
Pretty well. He's a pretty happy dude for the most part. My wife's getting ready to go back to work here just next week, so she's not looking forward to that. But
no, but, that's never.
Yeah,
fun.
No.
Well, that's good. Again, congratulations on that. Glad things are going well. And he had his first Disney trip not long ago, huh?
He did, yeah. And it was a pretty eventful one too.
Yeah, we'll get to that after the break. But what else has been new with you besides the addition to the family? How's everything going up in Michigan?
Everything's going pretty good. You know, it's unseasonably warm up here right now. We're I'm not even weather terroristing you. We're like 90 degrees today, and nice and muggy too. So we got Florida weather up here right now in September.
Yeah, Mike, and I did fact check that, as a matter of fact, because I saw in Minnesota it was going to be one of their hottest days all year.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
The first day of fall. So you're yeah. correct. You're not being a weather terrorist.
Right.
See, he did the preemptive fact check on you.
Yeah, well, I know Bill. I know he's gonna do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I got a question. Is the new one pretty much on a consistent mud schedule, or is it kind of all over the board?
It's terribly inconsistent.
It's inconsistent.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's all over the place. You know, it's some days. You know, there's quite a few. During
when you
the
say
day.
All over the place, does that mean time-wise, or is that literal?
No, just time-wise.
Oh, okay.
For the most part, just time-wise, yeah. You know, some days he'll have, you know, three or four, and sometimes he'll go 3 or 4 days without having one, so. But yeah, it's all over.
Too much red meat in the diet. You've got to get a high-fiber diet for baby here.
Yeah.
So it's never good when it literally goes all over the place. The blowouts are a real thing, and they're not good.
No, that has happened before, but it's pretty infrequent with him, so we got that going for us, which is nice.
It is nice. Anything else you want to add, either Mike, anything else you want to say? We'll talk to Por Favor Mike, and he's in Rhode Island, which is a rare occasion. Are you enjoying your time here in your home state?
As my goddaughter, Yergina, said, no.
Yeah, she made quite the appearance last week on the podcast, quite a hit.
That was pretty good, yeah.
With Yergina on there, but yeah, Mike doesn't like this weather. We're in the like the low 70s, high 60s.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's like that.
That's
Minnesota
good fall
weather.
Yeah,
it's exactly. It's been blustery, overcast, just miserable.
Well, it's been a tropical storm stalling off the coast, so kind of can blame that. A little Jose action going on, just sitting there.
Jose Melnickson.
Yeah. But that's good. So this week, because Mike's in town, my unofficial beer sponsor of the week, very important, I have a Budweiser Light. Because when you have a guest and he shows up with a 12-pack of cans, you don't refuse it. So
now, were those is your Budweiser Light, is that the old, like, early 90s cans that I saw
earlier
today?
Did you like those on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
I think everybody, because I posted, I said I found my stash. I think people thought I actually drank those, but those were when I would come visit at Christmas and stay with my mom, and I'd have 13 or 14, and I'd have to hide them because I didn't want to put them in a recycle bin and have her have a heart attack.
Yeah, so that those are already empty.
Consumed. There was like some Chardonnay, like those little onesie. You know how you could get like a 4-pack of the Chardonnays?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I found those in there too. That's back in the day. Good stuff.
Are you partaking in a beer this week, Mike?
I sure am, yeah. And I got to stay true to my roots. I got another Michigan beer here.
Very good.
We got Keweenaw Brewing Company. This is the Borealis Brew. Actually, I sent you a picture of this can a while back, but this is a coffee-infused amber ale.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, Borealis Brew is a blend of cold-brewed Borealis coffee from Keweenaw Coffee Works in Calumet, Michigan, and an amber-style ale. The delightful flavor from this medium roast coffee combined with the mild sweetness of caramel malts shines through this lightly hopped beverage.
Would you enjoy that, Mike?
No, that sounds like mud. Do we have an alcohol content there, Michael?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think I do have one on here. No, nope, I don't. I don't see one.
This is about 4. We got about 4.7, I think.
I was going to say, let's see what the alcohol content is on this Budweiser Light. I don't see it on here anywhere.
My guess on this one is it's probably like 5.5 or 6, somewhere around there.
You did a hell of a job, though, with the unofficial beer sponsor. Very well. You were prepared.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. He sent me a picture like months ago of this can, so he's been holding on to this one in hopes he can invite it back on again.
Actually, this one, I went to the local Diamonddale supermarket again today, and I saw that they had this, which this beer is actually it's just a limited edition one. And so a lot of the places downstate hadn't got this yet. They have a lot of the regular Keweenaw Brewing Company beers, but not this one.
What is downstate? Is that a Michigan term?
Yeah, very well, because I know in Minneapolis, when you're from the Twin Cities, if you say outstate, that means that you are outside of the Twin Cities metropolitan area. So what does this downstate mean exactly, sir?
Well, where this brewery is up in the Upper Peninsula.
So it's but it's not upstate, it's downstate.
Well, I'm referring to downstate as in down here in the Lower Peninsula. We didn't have a lot of this beer down in the Lower Peninsula yet, but we just got it. Does that make sense?
No, because you said it was made in the Upper Peninsula.
So it'd be like if it was made in the Panhandle of Florida and he wouldn't get it in Miami.
It is, right, exactly, yeah.
But didn't he say it was made downstate?
No, it's made.
No.
He said he doesn't see it a lot downstate. That's where he is.
Okay, all right, I see. Okay,
we're going to have to draw a map with this episode.
Yeah, we'll get the chalkboard up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hey, do you guys, I was just thinking about this as I was reading it. Do you guys say caramel or do you say caramel or caramel?
I say caramel pretty much. I don't really say caramel.
I say caramel usually.
Okay, all right.
If I catch myself, I'll say caramel. But I usually, if I don't think about it, I say caramel.
All right.
It's like pecan and pecan.
Pecan.
Yeah. Pecan.
Pecan, yeah. Well, this all takes all kinds. You can't trust a Michiganer.
Michigander. Yeah.
All right. You have anything else either you want to add here before we take a little break? Because we have a lot of good weather stuff to get into this week.
Mm-hmm.
You good to go, Mike?
Nope, I think I'm set.
Take us to break, Mr. Klinsman.
All right, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back for the meat of this week's episode. All right, we're back from break. This is episode 186 of the Por Favor podcast. Mike and I are joined by Mike in Michigan, Mike Schaefer, and this week we're talking probably your favorite topic, weather. You're a big weather homer, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, I had the Weather Channel on probably 72 consecutive hours in my weather bunker down in Sarasota, Florida.
So this is referring to, in case anyone's been under a rock the last few weeks, Hurricane Irma came through down the Caribbean, all the islands, and up through Florida. And it actually whacked Central Florida pretty hard. And I guess Jacksonville got a lot of flooding as well. But how'd you make out on the west coast of Florida, Mike?
It was about a Cat 2. I'd say we had wind gusts of about 80 miles an hour at the studio, but unscathed. The only thing that happened was we lost a number off around our garage, one of our address numbers. That was it.
Oh, now you gotta so all find the fan one that mail, matches?
Yeah, all the fan mail's going to the wrong place now.
Yes, exactly. In my royalty checks.
Yeah, don't worry about those. Those have been stopped anyway. That has nothing to do with the address. But, I mean, obviously, I neglect to say Southern Florida and the Keys, they got destroyed. I mean, Key West was basically underwater for a while, but they were saying, I mean, it got hyped up pretty big, and I don't know, you guys were both there. Do you think it lived up to it? Was it overhyped, or?
As far as at Disney World goes, which is obviously where I was, I think it was pretty overhyped. I can't speak for the other parts of Florida, really. But, at Disney, I think it got pretty overhyped after seeing the aftermath the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some pictures of Walt Disney World. It looks like there was a little bit of damage, a couple trees down, but overall not too bad. But I can understand the caution that was put into it. Now, with you, do you think it was, I mean, obviously it's still a big deal. But what do you think? Was it overhyped?
I wouldn't use the term hyped. I think it was supposed to go out over the East Coast. And then Thursday I was at work, and the pro and I were watching the Weather Channel, and they said that it was moving further west. And then we were both a little more concerned than we had been all week. And as the days were getting closer to the hurricane, it started getting worse and worse. They thought maybe we would get a direct hit. They were thinking maybe it would come into Sarasota and Tampa Bay, and they said if that did, it would be coming over warm waters, and it could be a strong Category 5. So there was quite a bit of concern. And I'd say about 12 hours before it actually hit, it hit the western part of the Keys, Key West, and then came up into Naples, and it really hit Key West and Naples hard and kind of weakened the storm a little bit as it came in through Fort Myers and Venice and Sarasota. So when it hit ups, it was a Cat 2. But I wouldn't say it was overhyped or underhyped. I think the Weather Channel, I was glued to the Weather Channel, and they did a fantastic job as far as informing people and where the surges were going to be. And then when I switched over to local news, they were just spot on with everything. So I think most of the people who were hyping it weren't in town. They were up in Minnesota and Rhode Island, and they were trying to tell us what they thought was going to happen. But
I completely agree with that.
I think they were spot on. Now, were you able to get the local coverage up in Orlando as well?
Yeah, we were. They have all the local stations around there on the TVs there in the room.
No, but we're kind of burying the lead here a little bit because you were camping, right?
We were actually camping. No, we didn't have the trailer down there. Our in-laws went down there with us this trip.
Okay.
So I guess to start out with, we drove down. We just left on Monday, drove Monday, stayed overnight, drove Tuesday. We were kind of watching the weather. And we, the second night that we stayed, which would have been Tuesday night, we were going to kind of just take our time on Wednesday morning getting to the resort, which we were going to stay at Fort Wilderness and then kind of spend some time at the resort after we checked in and then go to the parks, not until Thursday. Well, after watching the weather and seeing that we're definitely going to have some inclement weather while we were down there, we decided, well, let's get up first thing in the morning on Wednesday and we'll just head right to Epcot. 'Cause that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to get down there for Food and Wine Fest. So, So we decided we're going to get up early, go to Epcot. Well, then we were thinking, well, we might have to check in order for our snack credits to work because we had the dining plan this trip. Hmm. So instead of going right to Epcot, we went to Fort Wilderness. We got at Fort Wilderness at probably 8:30 in the morning. And I go to check in, and the lady starts to check me in, and she's like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. I'm in the whole checking out mode. Everyone's checking out. I need to check you in. So, I mean, even on Wednesday, everyone was canceling their trips early and getting out of there.
Mike, if I could interject, will you did you inquire about maybe trying to weasel some of the last-minute meal credits from some of these people who were getting out of Dodge, or did that not come to your mind?
I didn't even think about that, but I should have.
Is that going through your head?
Yeah, right. Well, excuse me, are you canceling from somebody?
Do you have any snack credits left that you would like to transfer over to this Magic Band?
Yeah, no worries, I can take care of that for you.
Yeah, that would have came in handy, but our time at Epcot was not nearly as much as we planned it to be because of the 2 days that it was closed. So,
yeah, 2 days is tough to lose too, but obviously they did evacuate the fort.
Yeah, so like I said, we checked in on Wednesday, and when we got there at 8:30 in the morning, they already had our cabin ready, and our in-laws were camping, and they were tent camping. So we got all our got everything unloaded and everything, and then went right to Epcot. The next day we went to Magic Kingdom, so that would have been Thursday. When we got back to the cabin on Thursday, there was a letter in our cabin that basically said that, you know, due to the incoming weather, that Fort Wilderness is going to be evacuated by 2 o'clock on Saturday. And I want to say it said something along the lines of, you know, if you have your own vehicle or live in the area, they urge you to leave or go home. But if you didn't want to do that, then they could figure out different accommodations for you. And we didn't have to evacuate till 2 o'clock on Saturday. Well, we figured, well, maybe let's get ahead of the game and let's just do this right now. And maybe we could get a little bit nicer room that way if we, you know, start doing this ahead of time. Because we knew that people were going to be coming from other parts of Florida to Disney, which is the case. That definitely did happen. So Thursday evening, we went up to the front desk and basically told them that, you know, we were ready to move, that we wanted to change resorts. So they set us up at Coronado Springs. So we get to Coronado Springs, and the cabin at Fort Wilderness is pretty awesome. I mean, there's a bedroom in the back with a queen size bed and two bunk beds. And then, you got a nice size bathroom, a full kitchen, and then it's like a living room with a pull out couch and like a dinette and everything in there. So then we got to Coronado Springs, and it's a basic hotel room. Part of the reason that we're staying at Fort Wilderness is because, you know, like we said earlier, we have a new baby. So my wife is pumping, freezing milk. So they had a full size fridge and freezer in there so she could put her milk in there. And we didn't realize until the next day that we were at Coronado Springs that this little mini fridge doesn't have a freezer.
Right.
So that was a little bit of an issue for us. So, we contacted our travel agent who, did the best that he could. But I mean, at this time, they're experiencing like 5 and 6 hours wait just to talk to Disney. So we went up to the front desk a couple times, and it ended up being after a couple visits and phone calls and stuff like that. First, they said that we could use the freezer that's like in the main lobby at Coronado Springs, which that would have been fine. But if we went on lockdown and weren't able to leave the room for however long it was going to be, then we wouldn't be able to get there. So what they ended up doing was moving us to, after we stayed a couple nights at Coronado, they moved us to Beach Club, which was awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fantastic, yeah, sir.
Yeah, we were right in the main building at Beach Club on the second floor, basically like the first room after you go up those stairs. We were right there. We had our room overlooked like the courtyard area. So it worked out pretty well. We still want to go back and stay at Fort Wilderness because we really did like the cabin, but it worked out pretty darn well getting moved to Beach Club, that's for sure.
And Mike, let me ask you a question. Did they evacuate the cabins because they couldn't withstand good winds, or was it because of the trees all around it?
I think it's both, actually. Okay. Those cabins are basically essentially just like modular homes, you know, so they don't really have much of a foundation, and they are surrounded by trees.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, they did take a good deal of damage because this is, what, the 21st today. I think they only reopened yesterday at Fort Wilderness.
Oh, did they really? Well,
as far as I know, I've been, our good friend John, Fort Wilderness guy, has been updating on Facebook. I think they said they just started letting people back in yesterday at Fort Wilderness. So it's been quite a while that it was closed. So I guess there was probably a good deal of tree damage and a lot of cleanup over there, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense because unless you were in a cabin, there's no bathroom. Like, if you're in a tent or in your camper, you know, they can't really control. Obviously, a tent wouldn't work in a hurricane, but even the camper,
yeah.
Disney has very little control, and I'm sure like
right.
just a liability issue would be a big problem for them.
Yeah, for sure.
But so you went from Fort Wilderness to Coronado to Beach Club.
Yeah, I mean, my in-laws even made it out better because they went from tent camping at Fort Wilderness to Coronado to Beach Club.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So they basically paid like $69 a night to stay at Beach Club.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty good because I'm assuming they didn't whack you any extra, right? They just
No, they did not. Right.
I guess hurricane season's usually a slower time, but I guess they were pretty lucky that it wasn't like everybody wasn't sold out.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and it from what I understand, it was nearly sold out from having all the people from outside of Florida or from the other parts of Florida come in. It was kind of crazy because the park shut down on Sunday and Monday. Well, when they when all this stuff with Irma started happening, and they started getting reservations from people from all over Florida, Disney decided to let people have their pets with them at the hotels. So it was kind of weird walking around Beach Club in the lobby and in the courtyard and everything like that. And people are walking around with like their miniature schnauzers and like, you know, bull mastiffs and stuff like that.
And for a change, they didn't have to use a fake service animal vest to get them there.
Yeah.
I did see that they allowed the pets. So that's good that at least they did that. And I saw a few things. I don't know if it was from you or other people or just in general, but they did a lot of entertainment in the lobbies, like where they had characters and stuff like that going on while people were on lockdown at the resorts and the parks were closed.
Yeah, they did a really, really good job with that. On Saturday, we went to Epcot, and on Saturday they closed all the parks down early. I think all of them were closed down. It was like maybe an hour early, basically, and there was no fireworks at any of the parks.
Right.
So by the time we got back, you know, it was probably 9:15, 9:30, and they had characters in the lobby already at that time on Saturday. And then Sunday morning when we got up, there was already characters in the lobby, and they were there till probably 9 o'clock at night. And the same thing on Monday. And you know, they were out there, you know, dancing with the kids, and they had a lot of different like games and activities. I mean, all day long going on out there, and that was all pretty much put on by like the lifeguard staff, which I think they call them like the rec staff or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, they did a phenomenal job. They did a really good job making you know, a crappy situation not so bad. So
now there's a couple other things that I got wind of is that they had free movies in the rooms. Like you could download or whatever, rent the movies, and they weren't charging for that.
The only thing that we saw, I wondered about that too. I was looking, but the only thing that we saw is like they had like random Disney movies playing throughout the day. I couldn't find anywhere where you could like actually go and pick what you wanted, but yeah, they, yeah. Right. Yeah, but they had, I don't know, a bunch of different stuff. Little Mermaid playing, I don't know. I know we watched a couple of them throughout the couple days, but that's the only one that comes to mind that they played.
Now, how did the food work? Because that's what
yeah,
I'm thinking.
You know, I was just saying that's near and dear to our hearts, so I got to assume with all the parks closed that the resort restaurants must have been packed.
You know, they actually did a really, really good job with that. They, I know last year they talked about that. You know, that was a big problem with how much they charge for, you know, those box lunches. Right, or whatever.
Yeah, I remember
well,
that.
Well, this year, when all this stuff started happening, they did a really good job informing everyone. First of all, I think it was like Channel 3 on the TV. They had, you know, like messages there all the time, basically saying what was going on. There was also like notifications on My Disney Experience telling you what was going on. And some of those messages that would come up on the TV or on the My Disney Experience was, you know, you're probably going to be at your hotel for an extended period of time. If you're out at the parks today, so that would have been like Saturday or Friday. If you're out at the parks today or downtown Disney or at your resort cafeteria, you know, you might want to think about picking up some extra snacks or, you know, bottled water or different drinks and stuff like that. So they did a good job in that aspect, but also the sit-down meal. So at Beach Club, we went to Cape May twice, actually. We went for breakfast on Sunday and for dinner on Sunday. And they had that meal was, I think it was half off, actually, for both meals. And the only difference from what it normally is there's no characters, and for dinner they didn't have crab legs. They had everything else but crab legs. So I mean, they did a really good job, and pretty much all of the other restaurants around there were running, you know, similar specials, and they were also running on a limited menu, however, too, because we went and I really wanted to look at Yachtsman, but all they had like a couple different sandwiches and like a burger or something like that, and so I really didn't want to waste my time going there for just that.
Could you imagine having like a Yachtsman reservation and you show up and they can only get a hamburger?
Getting a filter? Oh, that would be so disappointing.
I'm sure it's good, but
yeah.
Be a little disappointed.
Yeah, well, some of our reservations got messed up. Some of the ones that I was pretty disappointed that we didn't get to was we were going to go to Art Smith. I was really looking forward to that, and that one got canned. And then we're also going to go to Tiffin's, and we had a dining package for that one. So we had the Rivers of Light dining package, and that was I think on Saturday. So it was closed anyways. They weren't doing any nighttime shows, so we didn't make it to that one either.
I mean, obviously, this sounds like it was a pretty big headache. I mean, moving rooms twice with a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old is probably not your idea of a good time. But it sounds like they did as much as they possibly could to accommodate everybody.
Yeah, they did do a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was frustrating and somewhat annoying, but it sounds like they kept people in the loop. I know last year with Matthew, a lot of people were complaining about the way they handled it, and I guess it sounds like they learned from it last year and they improved on some things.
Yeah, they definitely did. They did a really good job, especially communicating. I think they did really well this year.
And then how long after the storm passed were you down in Florida?
We left on Wednesday afternoon.
So you didn't really see you got like one day.
Yeah. We went to the parks on Tuesday, and then we went to downtown or Disney Springs on Wednesday, and then took off. When we left, we came up 95. Because we're going to do a couple days in the Smoky Mountains. And every single exit ramp in Georgia, starting in Florida, north in Georgia, for like the first 50 miles, had either Georgia State Police or Georgia State Police and the National Guard there. Our guess was because of the hurricane. I would think they were just trying to keep people off the road so they could assess damage and fix what needed to be fixed and everything, but it was pretty crazy to see that at every single exit.
That is strange. Now, was it tough keeping keeping your 3-year-old entertained through all this? Because I'm sure it's not easy being confined to a small space and not being able to go outside for a couple days. I mean, was he a pretty good trooper about it, or was it kind of just threw down the tablet and been like, knock yourself out, kid?
He did a little bit of both.
Yeah.
He did pretty well. On Sunday when the storm was coming in, Sunday morning they still had the pool open.
Oh, okay.
At Beach Club. So we kind of knew that was going to get shut down pretty quick. So we were like, well, let's get down there and at least get some swimming in, get a little bit of energy out. So we did that, which that pool is awesome. The Beach Club has such a great pool.
Enjoy that pool,
so we were able.
Yeah, I do have tips on how to get in there too, but that's a later episode. But isn't that a fantastic pool?
It is, and it really doesn't even seem like it's hard to get in there. Like there was nowhere where you had to scan your magic band or anything. I mean, you could be walking right on that path from Epcot to Beach Club or Yacht Club, and you can just walk right in that gate.
The Port Favor tip. I can neither confirm nor deny that that statement, sir.
Yeah, Port Favor tip. Well, and then so that was Sunday. Well, Monday, I mean, there's a lot of trees and stuff around that pool. So on Monday, it wasn't open yet, and I don't think it actually opened back up until Tuesday. But when we were finally allowed to go out and walk around and everything, we were walking down the boardwalk, and their pool was open. So we thought about going over there and just using their pool, but we didn't end up doing that.
So, you guys are going to have to remind me, the brunt of the storm was Sunday night into Monday morning, is that right?
Yeah, we started, it was heavy, like in the St. Pete area, probably about 8, so I would guess it probably, what, about 9 o'clock your time, Mike, up in Orlando?
Yeah, it was probably a little bit after that. I want to say that we went down and ended up having dinner at about 8:30, and I think probably by the time... So, yeah, so I guess that's probably about right, because it was a little bit after that, so maybe like 10 o'clock or so was, I think, when it started getting really windy and rainy and everything down there. But, like, I mean, but from what I understand, like, the worst part of it happened in Orlando at about between midnight and 2 was when it was really bad, I guess. I mean, I slept through it, and... From like what I've been telling people around here is like, look, going out the next day and, you know, looking at everything around where we were anyways, it looked like a bad thunderstorm rolled through. You know, there was a lot of branches down, small sticks down. You know, there were some trees that were uprooted. I mean, from the stuff that I saw there wasn't any like catastrophic damage. I'm sure people are going to, like, tear me apart, but that's what I saw. So.
Now, how's the... I mean, I assume with Disney, and I was talking to Mike before we started recording, that they have generators everywhere, but did you ever, like, were there flickers of power loss, or was it just constant, never worry about that?
Not that I noticed.
Yeah.
No, not that I saw anywhere. And, I mean, I'm sure they do have generators everywhere, but you know, at the same time, I wonder, are these generators going to power everything? You know what I mean? Or is it just going to be like, you know, maintenance stuff, things that you really need? And we never noticed any kind of change as far as power goes. We did see a lot of utility trucks, especially at Coronado Springs before we left. There were dozens of them staging there. And I think there was at Magic Kingdom parking lot too.
Yeah, so I don't know. Too. I saw a picture at Epcot. It looked like 50 to 100.
Oh, yeah. They come in from other states before the storm and they bunker down or hunker down, whatever you say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was dozens upon dozens heading south on 95 too when we were heading out of town, and that was on Wednesday. So,
I have a couple questions. So you said that you pretty much slept during the storm.
I did, yeah.
Now, where did your room face? Did you say it faced? Did it face out to the pool or what?
Yeah, faced out to the courtyard. So if you're coming outside of the Beach Club lot, if you're coming out of there, if you turn to the left, we were on the second floor, and we would have been the second balcony on the left. So, yeah, it was a pretty great spot to have a room.
Now, they don't put any types of shutters on any of the windows, right? I mean, that would probably take a year to just do.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
They don't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't do anything like that. And the only thing that we noticed that they did was when we checked into our room, there's some furniture that they have out on like the patio area, you know, on the deck, and there was like two chairs and a table. Those were brought into our room. And I think that day we like put them out, and when housekeeping came back, they put them back inside. So they're like, oh, all right, well, they don't want us to have those out there. So so we just kept them in the room.
Now, how were people's spirits? Were people pretty much cooperative, or did you see a lot of pains in the
I mean, I would say that for the most part, people were pretty cooperative and, you know, pretty happy. Well, not happy, but, you know, Their spirits were fine, but you know there's always, you know, a couple jerks in the crowd. You know, there was, I mean,
yeah, like I heard about this one guy saying that he had to get out of Coronado to get to a beach because he needed a freezer in his room.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, something about milk and all that crap.
What a jerk!
I heard about that incident, but other than that, everything was pretty cool.
You know, other than that, yeah, everyone was pretty cool. I mean, there was someone that was making a huge stink because there was a long wait at Cape May, you know, at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, but other than that, you know, no, everyone seemed to be pretty good. But like I said, Disney did a really good job informing people, and they did a really good job entertaining people too. So, and I really have no idea what it was like at any of the other resorts, but they did an awesome job at Beach Club and Yacht Club.
It must have been tough at like the values and the moderates where it's not where you're not connected to the lobby.
Yeah, I said the exact same thing.
Because if you're in Coronado and you're in like the Casitas building and you're like a mile walk from the lobby.
Yeah, which is where we were.
Yeah, and you got like winds blowing 70, you're gonna be going down to the Pepper Market to get your morning coffee. Probably not. I mean, it probably a lot tougher at those places than at the.
To get your morning coffee, get your morning coffee and drop off your milk. No, it's a no-go.
Yeah, exactly. Business meetings would have had to take a break.
You'd actually have to go in a room.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
But that sounds, I mean, it sounds like all things considered, it went okay. And, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't your ideal trip, but you got a story to tell and you guys kind of rolled with the punches, and it sounds like you still made the most of it.
You're going to be at Epcot probably a million more times, give or take one or two, the rest of your life. This is something that's going to be memorable.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, my aunt flew down, and she came down with us. No. My aunt Gail.
Oh, okay.
So she flew down, and we were kind of keeping in contact with, you know, with her, you know, what the plan was and everything. She flew down on Friday. And, you know, we're talking to her. My wife's like, I can't believe you came down. She's like, I'm not going to miss the storm of the century. Of course I'm going to come down. So and actually she had a 5-day park hopper, was only able to use 3 of the days. And, so Disney just, she could either get the money back for the 2 days that she didn't use, which obviously it's less for the 4th and 5th day with a park hopper or with the, you know, Magic Your Way or whatever the heck it's called now. Yeah. Or she could just keep those 2 days and they wouldn't expire and she could use them anytime that she came back. Cool. So
they were pretty much accommodating.
Yeah, they were. They were really, really accommodating. So we did still get to eat at some pretty good places, but although some of our reservations got messed up, we ate at Ohana the first night we were there, which I love that. That is awesome. That's one of my favorite places. You guys go there?
Yeah, I've been probably
3 times now.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You're not a fan of the breakfast, though, huh?
No, I didn't think the breakfast was all that great.
I'm not a fan of the breakfast either. I thought it was subpar at best.
Subpar especially for the price.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really not that great. And that was a place that I had that not very good Bloody Mary, too. Well, you said you liked the Bloody Mary there.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad.
Maybe I already just had a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, you weren't feeling great anyway at that point.
And then Friday, so the second day we were there, or sorry, the third day we were there, we ended up going to Hoop De Doo, which I think I sent you guys a picture. But
yeah, there was nobody there, right?
There was no one there. It was like almost eerie.
So did they let the cheap seats who pay for upstairs come downstairs, or did they keep them back up in the second level?
You know that? No, they did. Nice. I mean, yeah, they did. They pushed everyone like the first.
Please put
two. Yeah, exactly. First two, maybe three, rows of tables were filled up, and that was it. There was no one at all up top. There was no one from like the middle back of the main floor. It was pretty crazy, but still a great show. I still love going there.
I wonder though. I mean, there's no way to know, and I don't think they'd ever say anything. But I wonder what kind of hit they took to do all these things. Like even in the long run, like even just your anecdotes about having now they have to make a 2-day non-expiring park hopper. They had to put you up in a more expensive hotel. They had to cut the price of all their restaurants, and they did all this. They had all these extras. I'm sure they're paying the staff. I mean, I know they don't pay the staff a lot, but I'm sure it's overtime or double pay or hazard pay, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure when there's a state of emergency, they have to pay them more.
Yeah, it was like huge. I mean, we talked to a lot of people that worked there. You know, were there for like 72 hours.
Yeah, because I was saying,
you know, they just had rooms there, and they had them bunking up with other people that worked there, and I mean, you know, most of that time they're working and getting paid probably double time, at least time and a half.
Because you must have had some people who wanted to evacuate, and they can't tell you can't evacuate. So I'm sure like a lot of like their core people who you know were born and raised in that area, they're probably asking them if they can work double and triple shifts.
Mm-hmm. I would assume. Yeah, I won't think they'd ever make it public, but I'd love to see what kind of cost it is just to deal with the like closing the park for two days. How much they lose in revenue and the gift shops and the restaurants just at the parks, and then to have to make all these other concessions for people staying on property. I bet it's not a small number. Not that I'm going to shed any tears. I think they're still going to do okay. They might survive. They'll pull through this. Just be interesting to see. I'd love to see those numbers somehow, but
yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
When the parks open back up on Tuesday, we went to Magic Kingdom in the morning. And we were talking to one of the cast members there. She's like, it's good to finally like see people, you know, it sounds like she was like at her house. And, we were saying something about how dead it was there. And she's like, yeah, there's only about 20,000 people in the park, which sounds like a lot, but that's like nothing for Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, because I actually, it's weird that you say that, because when I went last year on Halloween, we went to Animal Kingdom, and I talked to a cast member at Animal Kingdom, and she said, and it was that was probably the slowest day I've ever been to at any Disney park, was Halloween at Animal Kingdom last year. The cast member was telling me that they were only expecting like 45 or 50,000 people through the gates. And well, I was like, oh, only? That seems like a lot.
Right?
But they're like, yeah, it's going to be slow. We're only going to get like 40. So if there were only 20 at Magic Kingdom, everything must have been a walk-on at that point.
I mean, and it was, and you know, it was crazy to see, like, you know, that whole corridor in Fantasyland between, like, Peter Pan and Small World. Like,
there's no strollers in there.
Yeah, there was no one there. Like, I mean, that corridor is always a nightmare, and it's always packed, and there was, like, no one there. It was pretty crazy.
Very interesting. You have anything else you want to ask Mike before we go on any further here?
No.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to add? You miss anything that you want to talk about with this storm?
Talking to me?
Either one. I wasn't there for it. You guys were both there.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. I don't want to say anything. Get anyone else any more mad at me?
No. Well, I mean,
this is not a politically correct show. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think you're gonna get anyone mad. I mean, if you think it was over, I mean, obviously they had to close the park for
absolutely one day, but definitely. And like I said, it seemed like it was like a bad thunderstorm. That's what it seemed.
But it
seemed
also,
like,
I think what Mike said earlier though, it could have been real bad. Like
absolutely.
And you said maybe 12 hours before, but if they only had a 12-hour window to know from a Category 2 to a Category 5, like, if it could have changed in 12 hours, and if they didn't take these precautions and it didn't slow down and it went through at 150-mile-an-hour winds, I mean, obviously they prepped for that, and it was fortunate that it wasn't that bad, but if it was that bad, sounds like they were ready for it, which is good.
Yeah, I think they did a really, really good job preparing people, you know, entertaining people once the parks were closed. So I was really, really pleased with how Disney handled the whole thing.
Now, did they cut their prices on like the 12 packs of beer you can buy out of the gift shops there?
You know, that I'm not sure. My in-laws they went off property and bought some Yingling. So we're
good people.
We're drinking that, and I think on Monday afternoon we went to the Crew Cup, and we had a few drinks there too. So.
And you made it through okay, Mike, at the Southwest Florida Studios.
No problems. Hey, Mike, I think you'll agree, though. Were there a lot of weather terrorists up north telling you to get out of there and not even to go down there?
Yeah, there was. There was all kinds of them. We had the discussion whether we were even gonna continue on our way down there, and we were like, yeah, we'll keep going. And then while we were there, there was talk about leaving and driving back. And you know, my thought was, first of all, we're inland. People are leaving other places of Florida to come here. And the last thing that I want to have happen is to be on the highway and then get stuck on the highway somewhere with a 3-year-old and a, you know, 2.5 months old.
There was no gas. There was huge gas shortages. We could not get gas where we were.
Yeah. And, you know, just one small thing happens. It doesn't even have to be weather. It could be just a small car accident with that many people heading the same direction. You got backups and, you know, stop traffic for miles and miles. So, I mean, that was pretty much why we made the decision that we're going to stay. We're not going to leave that. And, you know, Disney's about the last place that wants anything to happen to its customers. They want nothing but good PR, not bad PR. So they're not going to put you in a dangerous situation as much as they can.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. And once you're there, then there's no reason to leave. I mean, if they lost power, they would have been the first place in the state back up.
Exactly. You know, yeah, exactly.
It's not like they would have put them on the back of the list. They would have been back up, and, you know, it would have been hospitals and Disney World getting put back on the grid. So.
Yeah, I know there was but people talking about needing to, at Disney, buy, you know, cases and cases of water and buy flashlights and all this stuff. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen here? Like, we're not, you know, it's not going to be like a nuclear holocaust. Like, it's a storm. We're at Disney World. We're going to be all right.
Yeah, it worked out good. And I mean, it's hard to say if I was in your shoes, what I would have done, especially driving down. It's a lot easier to cancel or change your plans when you're driving down. And I know Disney was very accommodating about, you know, letting people cancel and giving them full refunds when they normally don't within that close of a time period. But, yeah, I don't know what I would have done in your shoes. But once you were there, I think staying was definitely the right choice. And then, you know, it obviously worked out okay and everything went well. And you were still able to salvage a pretty good trip out of it. But it would have been a bummer, you know, to be kind of like stuck in the rooms. But
I think part of the reason that we decided to continue our trip and not to change it like on the way down and before was, you know, this was one of our longer trips this year. You know, we were down there for a week. So, you know, even though we lost 2 days, we still had 5 days
right.
in the parks. So we had that going for us.
Yeah, because my sister was supposed to go down Friday and come back Monday.
Right.
She canceled her trip, which...
Yeah, absolutely. I did the same thing then.
But,
right.
Yeah, so that wouldn't have worked out for her regardless, so she canceled it, which makes sense. But, yeah, a longer one, if you were going to be there for a week and you knew you were going to miss 2 or 3 days, it's probably still worth it, like you said.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we've talked storm pretty well, and we got a really good perspective of someone who was on property at the time, and appreciate you coming on. But we'll take our second break. We'll come back and wrap everything up here in just a minute. From break, that was episode 186 of the Por Favor podcast. Mike from Michigan giving us his first-hand Irma storm review, I guess, because we didn't really talk about the trip too much. I mean, you got into it a little bit, but the real point of interest here was how Disney dealt with the storm and how you in particular impacted staying at Fort Wilderness, which they evacuated. It would have been a different story if you had booked like Caribbean Beach, and they would have kept you there.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah.
Actually, Caribbean Beach must have been a nightmare, because everything's intense there with all the construction going on. I wonder what they did.
Construction cranes and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they took a lot of that kind of stuff down, like a lot of construction equipment, a lot of like
the scrims, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, the down. scrims, yeah. Fencing, that kind of stuff.
Caribbean Beach. I don't know if you've seen, because like I was watching some YouTube videos of the current state. And the actual food court is like a pop-up tent, because the whole center town area is closed at Caribbean Beach. So there's no food court, there's no gift shop. It's all like these tents in the parking lot.
Like you would see at a PGA championship?
Yeah, exactly. Like that. So I don't know if they took those down, because I'm sure those aren't hurricane ready and sturdy enough. So I wonder what they did with that. I guess...
Yeah,
I guess you really screwed us over here not staying at Caribbean Beach. We would have been able to get even a better review.
Well,
next time, I guess we'll send you down in a hurricane to stay at the...
Yeah,
the
you'll most... be like our Weather Channel guide. Next time there's a Cat 5,
Jim Cantori,
we'll send Jimmy Cantori down to Disney World.
Yeah.
By the way, when is my contract up? Because I think we need to renegotiate the terms. Because,
all right, on that note...
Because I need to get hazard pay.
193.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's in there for one storm, and now he wants hazard pay. And, you know, you see how the talent gets. Yeah. You know what I put up with.
I know. I think the only reason he wanted to come on the show was to expose his contract,
yeah,
or his expiring contract, to the 17 million weekly listeners we
have.
Yes,
exactly.
Although you guys are riding around in private jets, you can't even afford to pay us for some hazard pay.
Well, how do you think we could afford the private jets?
Exactly.
If we had to pay all our help, we'd be in Pintos.
Susie's M&Ms, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have anything else really to add here. You have anything you want to say, Mike from Florida?
No, sir.
Mike from Michigan?
Nope. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
hopefully sooner than 9 months this next time. We'll get you back on again. And, always a pleasure having you on. We appreciate you coming on and talking Storm Talk, which I know Mike's a huge fan of. This is probably your favorite episode we've done.
Yeah, by far. I love talking weather.
Is it you like weather better than food? He's thinking. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, we incorporated both. You were talking about what food he ate during the storm, so this is like the perfect
food. Disney and weather. This has been a fantastic episode.
Yeah, this is gonna be top on the playlist for Mike. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. You know where to find us. All social media platforms, look for Por Favor Podcast on our website, porfavorpodcast.com. Email the show info@porfavorpodcast. YouTube.com/porfavorpodcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play. What's the other one? Stitcher?
Stitcher.
Yeah. Mike, you want to give your personal?
Yeah, you can email me at mike@porfavorpodcast.com, and you can follow me on Twitter @porfavormike.
And, Mike, we can usually find you commenting on our Facebook posts.
Yeah, you can. I'm usually commenting on your Facebook posts. I'm Michael Baron Schaefer. Like I said, I think on the last episode, if if you want to be my friend and you don't look like a weirdo, then I'll usually accept it. I accepted our mutual friend, Doug Willing. He did not
you
look weird.
You didn't think he looked like a weirdo?
I was gonna say, no, he does look pretty cool.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nope, I didn't think he looked that weird, so I accepted him. And well, now,
he's probably the least weird looking of our listeners. But in the normal public, he'd be considered weird.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's the least weird of our listeners, but yeah, you're right.
I accepted his friend request, and now I'm out scouting campgrounds for him here in Michigan.
Yeah, you guys are big nerds. He told me that you guys listen to like camp podcasts.
Oh yeah, that makes us nerds, not listening to the quasi Disney podcast.
Oh my god!
Take
us through a camping podcast.
Oh man,
about different parts of Michigan.
This is more like a national one, but yeah, they talk about different campgrounds. That they go to and kind of review them and their amenities and you know what they didn't like about them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a nice site. We had a hookup to the water and electric. There was a fire pit. The bathroom's water wasn't that hot, and the common room had a billiards table.
I had Chipotle on the ride up, and I had four muds, and it took them all down. So it's been a five star rating.
I can't handle you East Coast elitists. I can't handle it.
No. We wouldn't be caught dead in a tent between the two of us.
What?
Grand Floridians camping.
We're not camping in tents, okay? We got trailers here. We're not camping in tents.
Yeah, call me an elitist. You guys towing around these giant hotels on wheels.
Here's a guy who just
the Willings, the Willings,
and he's calling you an elitist.
Yeah, I know. I got a reservation for All Star Music coming up, and you're calling me an elitist from your beach club balcony.
Yeah, from your beach club balcony. Yeah, exactly.
We got upgraded for free, and the Willings have a hotel room on wheels. We just have a moderate sized trailer.
Anyway, thanks, Mike. We do appreciate you coming on. It's always fun talking to you, and. I guess that's going to do it for episode number 186 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los podcast. For Mike Schaefer in Michigan, Mike Hurley here with me in the De Fauntleroy studios. My name's Gary. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
The star, he follows his dream with mind and heart, and when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream of